All right, so thank you so much for listening to Blue Sky Radio. With me is JD Goodhouse, and this is Blue Sky Radio at CKMS 102.7 in Kitchener and Waterloo, also at radiowaterloo.ca. So thank you so much, JD, for coming on the show. I mentioned a little earlier that you were at the protest at Standing Rock. Could you tell the listeners what your involvement was?
My involvement was at El Cheti Chacon y Oyanque, which means seven bands getting together, camping together. I was the Yapaha, which is the announcer. I was the one who woke everybody up in the morning times to get people praying and putting tobacco out and getting their minds ready for, you know, the day-long process of going up to the front line and protesting, actually. They didn't look at themselves as protesters at the time. They looked at themselves as protectors, which is where the water protector movement, slogan, motto, whatever you want to say, came into being, because that all derived from a ceremony back in March of 2016, I believe it was, in Fort Yates, North Dakota. It just so happened to be that Fort Yates, the Long Soldier District, was the first community on the reservation in Standing Rock to pledge support behind Sacred Stone Camp when that all first got initiated and implemented.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about how everything started, because for a lot of people, we really got to hear about it on the internet. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. As it was spreading, as the news was coming out, that's how I heard about it. And but you were actually there. So
I was actually there because it got implemented through some of the Sundancers, the Wakinchuzes, the overseers of the Sitting Bull's camp down in Standing Rock down there, where Sitting Bull himself got murdered back in 1890.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was kind of leading up. There's a ladder, there's different levels that led up to El Cheti Chacon. First of all was the implementation of that Sundance down on Standing Rock for the people, the Hunkpapa, the Lakotas that actually killed Sitting Bull down there, led to the Sundance back, what do I want to say, 32 years ago. The families had got together through a vision through Isaac Dog Eagle, and what they made was relatives again, because that was a bad time when Sitting Bull got murdered.
Yeah.
And then Wounded Knee happened after that in 1890. And then if you look at that, back in 1972 or 3, I believe it was, when the American Indian Movement had Wounded Knee 2, they had this 82-day standoff with the federal government over there, you know, because of the murders and things going on down on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation.
Yeah.
So Wounded Knee had a big impact. Wounded Knee 2 had a big impact, 1 and 2. And so, you know, in 1972-73 led up to 1978-79 when the Native American Freedom Religious Act came into being. Because up to that time, we were not allowed to practice openly our Native American religion. We couldn't Sundance, we couldn't Sweat Lodge, you know, we couldn't practice our seven sacred rites that were brought to us through our Looking Horse and that family down there in Greengrass.
Yeah.
And then the people that were involved with that actually went and started the Bigfoot Memorial Ride back in 1986, I believe it was, 87, which culminated in a 100-year anniversary back in 1990. And it was, you know, to bring wiping the tears of the seven generations, because back then they prayed for the seven generations before, back in 1890, that they would bring, you know, these teachings and these traditional rites back to the world.
Yeah.
Now we look at our Looking Horse going worldwide, praying at all these sacred sites, because he's the white buffalo calf pipe keeper. You know, it was a holy time back 19 generations ago. And the Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, Titoan Sioux were having a hard time at that time. And this woman had brought us a bundle with these rites to pray with. Now he is the last keeper of the sacred bundle, and it culminated in like we are in a generation right now, all of you, all the listeners, you yourself, Yenny, the children right now, where we are praying for the next seven generations ahead of us, you know. And it culminated in back in Standing Rock in 2016, the Bigfoot Riders, the Dakota 38 Riders, the Unity Riders, which I implemented the Unity Ride back in 1992 when I was the Bigfoot staff keeper, that all these people would come together and pray for Wolokota, world peace and unity.
Yeah.
Amongst all things and all beings, you know, the rocks, trees, the land, the water. And there was a prophecy back a long time ago where we would end up as indigenous First Nations people, that we would fight the black snake that would be coming through indigenous lands.
Wow.
So in 2016, when the state of North Dakota allowed the Dakota Access Dapple people to continue building through our sacred burial sites north of Cannonball, North Dakota, the children ended up running to Washington, D.C., the seventh generation itself, ran to Washington, D.C. to can't think of the word right now, but to actually protest what was going on with the digging and I guess the rudeness of Dapple going through and just pushing our burial sites aside and not caring that, you know, we were actually through the Tribal Historic Preservation Office, who my father, Cedric Goodhell Sr., was a part of back in the 90s, that implemented a federal law through the Native American Grace Repatriation Act and other ceremonial leaders throughout the United States that came together and got it to where it was federal law that if you had feathers, any Native American artifacts, that they were supposed to be returned back to the tribal people that they came from.
Okay.
So when Standing Rock came about, we were within federal law and treaty law, you know, back to the Fort Laramie Treaty, I think it was 1857 and 1860 or something like that, or 1872, I can't remember the exact dates. We ended up protesting down there in Ocheti Shakoni, you know, because children and women got attacked through Dapple security with dogs. So they were getting bit and beaten with batons and maced and things like that. And what was interesting about that was this country, the United States of America, will send millions of dollars to the Gaza, to the Jewish survivors, you know, to the things that went through with Hitler and stuff like that, you know, to try to heal them through their PTSD and things like that, their historical trauma that they went through, through the people that oppressed them. But yet, in this day and age, that this country still oppresses, you know, the First Nations people on Turtle Island.
Yeah.
So all we did was take a stand through ceremony, which was a ceremonial-derived sacred fire down there at Ocheti Shakoni that called millions of people in different nations across the world, because I was the announcer there. So I announced the Cherokee people to the Seminole people, to the Sami people of Norway. Yeah, so the Sami people over there in Norway are fighting pretty much the same type of situation that's going on over here, but they came and also put their flag up on flag row.
That's really amazing. Yeah, like, it's amazing. People came together from all over the world, and you guys made a difference. That is what's so amazing, is that you live to tell about it, like your people live to tell about it, and hopefully the world can look at you, and I guess legislation also helped you, but I mean, it was the people that did something. People before legislation, definitely.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions?
I have lots of questions. I mean, you're from Standing Rock, right? I mean, you're from this area, so you're to the rest of the world. You know, I'm a newcomer to the subject myself. So, I mean, looking to see what's going on in the United States with your president and how he's, you know, nominating the Supreme Court judge and the UN.
I want to correct something right there. First of all, he is not the indigenous Native American people here in the United States as president.
Okay.
He is the non-native people's president, actually. He's trying to take away reservations, actually. Abolish reservations and things like that, I believe, down here. And he is encroaching upon sacred lands, upon sacred treaty lands, which everybody's seen right after Obama went out of office, because Obama was a supporter of Ocheti Shakoni and all these other traditional camps that were going up. And when Trump got in there, he just went total opposite. He went ahead and signed Dakota Access Pipeline permits and everything like that nationally on the national news, you know, which was a sucky situation for us because everybody knew about that. And he was saying that, you know, by doing that, that all this oil and all these jobs were going to be kept within the United States, which would have been fine. But everybody knows that all this oil and everything is going to be exported, not imported.
Yeah.
You know. And then on top of that, but you know, like what happened at Standing Rock. Standing Rock knew that no matter what, these guys were going to push the pipeline through. But what we were trying to get was, you know, the state and the government to train the necessary personnel to address any oil leaks or any oil spills that came from that pipeline. And they wouldn't do it.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's my understanding of the situation. Personally, you know, I could be wrong. Everybody out there, the listeners, could research it more and find out something different. But that was my understanding, you know, as the announcer at camp there.
Yeah. Pretty incredible experience. I mean, how do you return to everyday life after something like that?
You don't. You have a longing and loneliness for living in a community where we didn't need money, you know, personally. You know, the camp advisors would get propane, they would get wood, food donated, you know, winter weather gear. You know, and everybody chipped in and took care of each other. You know, and when you leave that and you come into, you know, the slave wage community, the slave wage society, it's like everybody has to step on everybody else's neck to get ahead in this society. When you come from a camp like that, everybody was taking care of each other. You know, we had schools there, we had different direct action training seminars. We had PTSD trauma meetings going on. What I was trying to say was that we were a community that was derived through prayer. There was no drugs and alcohol in camp. We started at daybreak, before the sun even came up, about 5 o'clock in the morning with the elders. All the women in camp would come up and have a water prayer ceremony, and they would go down and have water that was blessed at the sacred fire and tobacco and different offerings they would put in the Missouri River. Because what people don't understand, it may have been a bunch of Indians protesting that was getting, you know, the publicity on the internet and national news and stuff like that. But, you know, we had all nations come together, you know, and they would go down and feed the Missouri River, which the Missouri River actually fed and took care of 17 million other people.
Yeah.
You know, through the Midwest. So it just wasn't the natives that were trying to, you know, we were trying to protect the water for the next 7 generations. It was all the non-Indians as well, the farmers, the ranchers, you know, the different cities, the different towns along the Missouri River, you know. And people thought there was just a bunch of wild, savage Indians just trying to make a point about something. But come on, man. Nobody can get along in this world without clean water.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What you did was so important. And I hope that, like, people in general can kind of ask themselves what's really important. Because, I mean, every day it seems like it's just getting a little bit more outrageous. Like, it's
you look over in Germany right now, the Germans, they got people up there protesting, camping out up in the trees so they won't take this Black Forest and whatever else down.
Yeah.
You know, because these guys are trying, this government's trying to come in and take them resources from them.
Yeah.
You know, the public, you, the public, you people as a public worldwide can change your government by going in there and voting, going in there and impeaching, going in there and telling people, no, this shouldn't be happening. This is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Use your moral compass. Look at your children. Look at your nieces. Look at your nephews. Because everybody can say, well, I don't got kids. It don't mean a damn thing to me. But you have nieces and you have nephews. You may have grandchildren, you know, great-grandchildren or whatever, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
But there's children out there that, you know, need us to stand up right now, because they say evil triumphs when good people do nothing.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to be...
That's where that all comes from with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I've been trying to get you to come on the show for a while, because, you know, your voice is so important and your people are so important. And it's really, I keep saying that indigenous wisdom really can save the planet, because the opposite of it is basically everything is based on a monetary value. Everything has to be developed. Like, there's no resource that can be left in the world based on the Western industrialization method, colonialism, and like, it's just getting so horrible. And as a human being, I mean, I grew up in a country far away from here. We actually have indigenous people in Sweden too, the Sami people. We have, there's some, I actually, I'm related by my grandmother, and this kind of wisdom, you know, like to appreciate nature for what it is and to think about others, community, like not everything has to be broken down into money. And it's getting really difficult to survive, like you say, like the slave economy, that kind of, you know, where everybody is competing with each other. Like, and in the end, we're not all consumers, we're human beings. Like, you know, we're all here together, and everybody is my neighbor. Everybody is in my community. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Like, I honestly really, really appreciate it. I know that you go to a lot of...
there's one thing.
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to leave your listeners with.
Okay.
Get informed. Get informed that all need to get involved and that they can make a difference. You know, and it's going to sound funny right now because I'm riding with my fiance right now. She's a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
She can go out there and forage. You know, that's what she went to college for botany, right? She's a botanist. She went to college for that. But she can go out there. So all you nerds out there, do you think that you're not important and things like that, that your voice is not heard? You know, get out there and start educating the blue-collar people, because, you know, society has shown us that, you know, we need to just run down to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal for our kid, when we should be teaching our kids how to grow a vegetable garden, even a small one. Not nothing huge or, you know,
Mm-hmm. To be
out of control.
Yeah.
But get these kids active. Get the next generation active. Get them out there. Start going out there foraging in the wilderness. Going out there foraging on the plains. Start building community gardens. Start taking initiative to bring that unity amongst your communities and getting all these people together. Start learning how to mulch. I just learned how to mulch within the last 6 months.
Nice.
Myself. You know, so start doing things like that to where you're going to be able to live off the land and live clean and be more healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they can teach that, and then we've made an impact in this world to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we always would say Standing Rock.
Awesome.
Up there. Well, I would.
Yeah.
I would wake everybody up with some song and prayer and Talamanaki Dapo. It's time for everybody to get up and put some tobacco down and greet the sun. Christians, shine your crosses and dust your Bibles off. Pipe carriers, fill your pipes. Get out here and pray. Remember, big corporations are there to destroy you and break your moral compass. But you guys need to understand that you can all make a difference within yourselves first, personally, and within your own home, and then within your community.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a indigenous or any certain sect our group of people's issue. It's everybody's issue. It's worldwide. I would always tell everybody on the microphone at camp, at Standing Rock, that you all drink blue and you all bleed red when it comes down to it at the end of the day.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, and listen to your elders and listen to yourself. You know what's right within yourself. You know what I mean? But I have to go here because I need to take my woman into the hospital because she likes to mess with wild horses. So I have to get an x-ray done.
Uh-oh.
I love all of you out there. Spread love. Spread prayer. Take care of each other. Do what you can for each other. Pay the goodness that's been brought into your life forward to the next person.
Thank you, JD. And say hi to your woman, too. Take care.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye.
Bye.
So that was JD Goodhouse, and he was at Standing Rock. And thank you so much for listening. Like he said, there's something that we all can do, and we really should look within ourselves, how we can make ourselves better and how we can help make our communities better. Thanks so much for listening to Blue Sky Radio at Radio Waterloo and CKMS 102.7. And definitely check out our website at radiowaterloo.ca as well.